Good morning. I'm mad at you because I have to follow Paul. Brother, you did a wonderful job. I appreciate the lesson. And I want to take this time to get just a little mushy with my brothers from Knoxville. I am proud to be a part of you. I love you. We have a friendship. You mean a lot to me. And if you ever doubt it, I want you to ask me. I want you to know that you have made an impression on me. And when I come, for as many years as I've been coming to Cary, and I see men like Paul who have grown, it reminds me of my time at the school and what it's done for me as well. And I want you to keep up the good work. Thank you. Have you ever wondered what it means to be obedient? Some of us struggle with that. Especially me. I struggled a lot with being obedient. But then I read an article about Roger Staubach. He was a quarterback for the Naval Academy back in the early 60s. He was good. 1963, he won the Heisman Trophy, the Maxwell Award, the UPI Player of the Year. Then he had to go serve out his time in Vietnam. So he graduated, and then he was drafted in the 10th round of the NFL draft by the Dallas Cowboys. See, he still had an obligation to his country that he had to fulfill, and nobody wanted to really take that chance on him. There wasn't an immediate return for their investment. So when he came back in 1969, you got to remember, he had been successful as a quarterback. All the awards he won, the games they won, he's considered one of the greatest in the Naval Academy's history. But he goes to play pro ball. It doesn't work out so well. They have a hard time. He's struggling because he's used to calling his own plays, being his own man, doing what he thinks they need to do. And he wasn't listening to his coach. So he comes back in 1971, and they win the championship. Somebody asked him afterwards, what's the difference between this year and last year? Why so bad to so good? And he said, I decided to be obedient. I decided to listen to my coach and do what he would ask me to do. If you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm 119, 59 and 60. There is a little verse here, or two little verses, that to me sum up obedience in a nutshell. The psalmist says, I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet towards your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Powerful, yet short, and critical. It's something we have to do. We often think that it's just something we tell those that are lost. We try to get them to think about their ways, don't we? Look, you need to think about how you're living. You need to think about the direction you're going. You need to think about putting on Christ. But I want you to look at it from a different perspective this morning. The psalmist was a God-fearing person, weren't they? Whoever it was, we don't know who wrote it. But they were godly. And yet, they're saying, we need to think about our ways. So I pose to you that it's not just the lost that need to think about what they're doing. It's a process that we will have to continue as Christians for the rest of our life. We can't afford to ever just take someone's word for it, swallow what they want to give us. Proverbs 23:7, the first six verses, to me, just to sum it up, are just don't be gullible. Don't just believe or eat anything that's handed to you. Don't just take someone's word for it. And then it goes on to say, as a man thinks in his heart, what's the next that comes up? So is he. You need to make sure that you know who you are. You need to make sure that you're not just following the crowd. There's enough of that goes on, isn't it? How many of you have kids or grandkids in public school? What's one of your worst fears? That they'll get in with the wrong crowd. They'll get in with the wrong crowd and they'll start doing things that they shouldn't do. People do it in religion all the time. They'll think about what they're doing. They'll say, well, I need to make a change. But then they don't look anymore to see what exactly do these changes need to be. I'm going to tell you, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but it's true in my situation with people I've met. I've only been a member of the church 5.5 years. And one of the things that disappoints me most is people that have been Christians for 20, 25, 30 years, and they really have no idea other than I was baptized. We sing a cappella. They quit thinking about their ways. They got complacent, and they started taking the preacher's word for it, or maybe grandma or grandpa's word for it. And that's not what the psalmist says. Galatians 6, 3 and 4, if you will, let's turn there. It says, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. In other words, you're not going to be able to ride on the coattails of who you've been listening to. Because at the end of the day, when your time comes to stand before God, He's going to say, what have you done? And you need to have enough confidence in yourself that, hey, I've looked at my life and I'm doing what I need to do. I'm doing the next point that the psalmist said in the latter part of verse 59. And I turn my feet toward your testimonies. This is a lifelong process. Us guys at the school, and James hates when we use him as an example, but be honest with you, there's none better. We pull up to the school, and James is studying, and he's turning his feet towards the testimonies every morning. If he sees something that doesn't match up his life with what the Bible says, what do you think he does? He changes it. But see, we often think of people, well, they need to do that at their conversion. Show me the scripture where it stops. Show me the scripture where it says, okay, you've done enough. You were baptized. Be happy. It's not there. It's a growing process. Remember what he wrote in Hebrews, the Hebrews writer? Got on the song for still being stuck on the what? First things. They weren't turning like they should. And I'm going to tell you, friends, if you think those out there in the world don't notice it, you're fooling yourself. If they don't see you studying God's Word and applying it to your life, you can talk to them all day long, but what are they going to say at the end of the day? They're going to throw the big H word out there, aren't they? Hypocrite. How dare them? And then you'll have a hard time ever making any leeway with them again. 1 Timothy 2:3-4. It says, it says, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Then listen to verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. And then usually that's where we stop it. See? Turning that repents. That's how you get saved. What does the rest of the verse say? And come to the knowledge of the truth. How many of you were fortunate enough that when you decided to become a Christian, when you come up out of the water after your confession, you knew it all? You didn't have to do anything else. You had everything you needed. You had all the answers. You had everything you needed to go out and prepare and teach others. Why do we act like that's how it is sometimes? It's not. It's a growing process. And we beat ourselves to death when we fail because we act like we're supposed to be perfect from the beginning. And it doesn't work that way. I can't tell you how many times I've had to change things in my life in the last 4 years. It's hard. You don't want to admit that you've made mistakes. But guess what? We're human. And it happens. We need to embrace it. We need to be thankful that God gave us something to compare ourselves to so that we can be pleasing to Him. We need to realize that, hey, God knew we were going to be this way. And He made a way for us. You know, we need to remember the Bereans. I want you to think about how many times you've heard Acts 17:11. Why do you think the Bereans get mentioned so much? Oh, the Bereans, they were more noble than those Jews in Thessalonica, for they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. How many times have you heard that? Have you heard it a lot? Have you been in a church more than 10 years, shake your head like this, because you know you have. Why? Because they're a good example. They did what we need to do. What were they doing? They were turning their feet to the Word of God to see if what they were being told was the truth. They weren't just buying it. They weren't just taking the apostles' word for it. But they wanted to know, does it measure up? Because if I'm going to follow something, I want to make sure it's right. Don't you see them having that attitude? I'm not just going to buy what you say. But yet, as I said, people do it all the time. Why do you think people don't continue to study? They don't see the need for change. They don't. I'm fine. I'm a good person. A young man that I was fortunate enough, we baptized last year. He's been going through all kinds of struggles, especially with his spiritual life. And it just dawned on me to ask him the other day, how long has it been since you read your Bible? You know what he said? About 6 months. I had to be honest with him and tell him, you're not going to succeed like that. you're not going to make it. Because, see, what he was doing is when he would have a question, he would call me and ask me about it. And whatever I told him, he just went with it. He had that much trust in me. But I told him, I said, you know, you need to be careful. And then we went to Acts 23:1. I said, even the Apostle Paul had to say, I live my life in good conscience until this day. But yet we know that at one time he was dead wrong. And I wouldn't intentionally lead anybody down the wrong path. But I made mistakes. The instructors have straightened me out on several issues that I've had since we've been there. Beliefs I've had. We used to be, you know, from Alabama, it's more along the lines of, well, let's just say very, very, very conservative. And if anything even looks like something, you know, we tend to just lob it in with the bathwater and throw the baby out too. But see, they had to teach me not to do that. Had to teach me to think for myself. That's something that the school does for every one of these guys. It teaches them to read the Word of God and you apply. You sit down and come up with what the Bible's saying. Not what you think it's saying, but what you think it's saying, or what you know it's saying. And every one of you can do the same thing. That's the great thing about it. It's not unique to preaching schools. It's something we all can do. But you've got to want it. And then I believe, finally, our last point, which is the hardest one to do. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. Leroy Brownlow, he said, he had a sermon and he had a little sentence in there that I think was probably as profound as anything I've ever heard. He said, there's no more dangerous word in any language than tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. And Brother Terry, in our discussion last night, I wish I would have thought to tell you that. When we were talking about people, you know, you get the proverbial question, what if someone is on their way to get baptized and they don't make it? I believe it should be, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't put it off. And it's not just baptism, it's anything we see. We all have habits, we all have things that we do, we have our little quirks. And when we see that they don't match up with what the Bible says, we need to get rid of them then. We need to make haste and not delay. But you see it a lot nowadays, and I'm guilty myself. People want to, well, it's not really that bad. We'll explain it away, won't we? Oh, it's not hurting anybody. And we fight to hang on to that to the very death. And then sometimes, the most effective thing is those that are about this tall. Or this tall. I forgot my little boys growing up. And they see stuff, and you could have had all kinds of people, Christians that have been, you know, in the church 20 years, they're telling you, you might want to look at this. Your brothers are telling you, you might want to look at this. And then you have a child come up and say, why do you do that? Why aren't you changing that? Daddy, why are you telling me how important it is to obey God and do it quickly But yet, you're not letting go. That make you think one. Make you realize, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. Do you remember what Ananias told Paul when he went to see him? Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. We have no problem thinking about waiting in that aspect, do we? When somebody needs to be baptized or when somebody wants to become a Christian, boy, we will do anything we can to get them in that water, won't we? Why don't we take the same attitude when it comes to the things we need to change in our lives? If you know the answer, please tell me. I would like to know. I would like to know why I've delayed certain things. Why it takes a child to make me feel bad. Shouldn't I do it just because I love my Savior? Shouldn't I do it just because I want to be pleasing to Him? Shouldn't I do it because I know that any moment, James 4:14, might come true, my life may be just a vapor? And when I stand before Him, shouldn't I have wanted all along to be pleasing to Him? Ecclesiastes 12:13-14, if you will, turn there with me. I don't know how much the psalmist had read, but sometimes I just wonder, when he wrote those two little verses in 119, I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet towards your testimonies. I made haste and I did not delay to keep your commandments. Sometimes I wonder if he had this in mind. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. They at least go together, don't they? One really puts light on the other, doesn't it? And I tell you, I honestly believe, as much as you've had to build here, and this is wonderful, by the way, and this is, what, the third time you've had to change buildings. If we applied Psalm 119, 59, and 60, and let the community see it, and my brothers, wherever you go, if we do the same thing, I honestly believe you'll have to knock the wall down again. Because you'll be showing people something that they'll want to be a part of. Sincerity. And that we love our Lord. I appreciate y'all having us. Thank you very much.